Good morning and welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Susan. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And today is March 27th, 2024. And we are continuing to read from Bill's story in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 11, the third paragraph, which starts with, "But my friend sat before me," through to the end of that paragraph, "better than the best he had ever known." Today's readers are Leslie M., who will read the text, Lorraine N. will read A Vision for You, and Larry G. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Cheryl S., and Eileen M. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, March 26, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,256. And for Wednesday, March 27th, the 7 a.m. Eastern, is 21,258. Again, 21,258. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeats Anonymous. I will now ask Laura W. to please join us and read the 12 steps of OA. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you. This is Laura W., and here are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Laura. Next, we will ask Letty G. to please read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Letty.
Thank you, Susan, and thanks, everybody, for being on this beautiful meeting. I'm Letty. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry his message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you, and thank you to both Laura and Letty for being of service during the month of March. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing on what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 11 in Bill's story, the third paragraph, which starts, "But my friend sat before me," through to "the best he had ever known." And I will now ask Leslie M. to begin reading and then share on the paragraph. Thank you, Leslie.
Good morning, Susan. Thank you for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. But my friend sat before me, and he made the point-blank declaration that God had done for him what he could do for himself. His human will had failed. Doctors had pronounced him incurable. Society was about to lock him up. Like myself, he had admitted complete defeat. Then he had, in effect, been raised from the dead, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he had ever known. Wow, I'm so grateful that Leah asked me to read this paragraph. It's amazing, because I can relate to the entire thing. You know, this is my journey in Overeaters Anonymous. I've been in Overeaters Anonymous 28 years before I finally got recovered. And I have to tell you that I was on the scrap heap. I was done. I knew it. But that was the thing for me, is that I had to get to that point where I was out of us, where I knew that there was nothing else I could do, when the only thing that I could do was turn to a higher power and say, okay, here I am. Do with me what you will. Because these last 28 years, it hasn't worked for me. Because I continued to think that I needed to do it my way. I didn't surrender to the fact that you're not in charge anymore, Leslie. You're not in charge of anything. You know, but that's what it was. You know, God had done for him what he could not do for himself. And God has certainly, you know, done for me. I mean, I have neutrality around the food. My life is, and it says in the last, it's better than the best he had ever known. And just as an aside, you know, when this actually happened for me, I was 67 years old, you know, and, you know, I had a lot of life, but this life that I've had since then is better than anything that I could have imagined. And also about that is I did break my abstinence once since then, about a little more than 2 years ago. And my first thought as a compulsive overeater was, well, I just won't tell anybody. And my next thought, or it took a little time, but my next thought was, you're going to tell everybody, because that 3.5 years of life had been the best I had ever known. And if I was, you know, at least willing to do the work and do something different and do it again, you know, because I was in the food, I had to go back to step one, but I had to do it again in order to hopefully get this recovery that, you know, I had been so generously given to me. And it had, it has made my life, you know, beyond my wildest dreams, better than anything that I could have ever imagined in my life. And yeah, you know, and I came from the scrap heap. So I'm very grateful to be able to share on this paragraph. Thank you for your service, Susan, and I pass.
Lovely. Thank you, Leslie, so much. If you are just joining us, we are on page 11, continuing on in Bill's story, third paragraph, that one paragraph only that starts with, "But my friend sat before me," and ending with, "Than the best he had ever known." Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So when you give me your name, if you give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from this morning, who would like to share on this lovely paragraph this morning?
Tom L., California.
Thank you, Tom.
Laura W. from Chicago.
Thank you, Laura. Got you.
Jody E.
Thank you, Jody. Who else would like to join this first lineup?
Judith S.P.
Hi. Judith S.P., thank you. Anyone else going once?
Vanessa G.
Twice? Thank you, Vanessa. All right. So we have Tom L., Laura W., Jody E., Judith S.P., and Vanessa G., and if everyone other than Tom L. can mute their line. Tom, go ahead, please. Thank you.
Good morning. Hopefully you can hear me. It's Tom L. from California. This is the miracle paragraph that these two guys met and that what happened afterwards actually happened. I've heard speaker tapes where people had heard these guys on stage in the 40s and 50s, including Ebby and Bill and Lois. So these are real people. I can't believe it. it actually happened. Ebby had had a hard life up to then. He was from a wealthy family, but he had been a hopeless drunk for many years. And being one of the addict of the family, which I was as well, it's even when you're having fun with your addiction, it's there's no peace, there's no rest. There's always shame. And there's always consequences from the addiction. So he had been living in this strange nightmare for, I would assume, a couple decades. And, you know, he was actually going to be locked up in the same asylum. That's how bad it got. So best he had ever known sounds like hyperbole, you know, over the top. But for 2 months, he had not done anything that caused him to be ashamed. In fact, he was, as part of his recovery, he was now trying to help his friend Bill, and it was pretty probably a hopeless task. He thought, this is not going to work. But he was honestly sharing something very valuable that he knew Bill could use. And having done that myself, to greater or lesser effectiveness, I leave that situation feeling, you know, that's worthwhile. I'm not ashamed of that. You know, I have some purpose. I can sleep at night. I can look people in the eye. Now, you know, this isn't when the best I've ever known. I usually think it must be like a cocaine binge. That must be really, really good. But no, it's just that I can be a human being at peace with the world and with my fellows for a little bit. I do not exist in that state permanently. I'm a very selfish person. I'm usually dragged back to it kicking and screaming. But I do know in my heart that I'm a compulsive overeater. And this is the only way I'm going to have peace and joy. And once I surrender to that, it becomes easy. And then, you know, the struggle again begins. I recognize what the previous person shared. Lots of relapse in my story, too. Thanks for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you, Tom L. in California. And next, we're going to go to Laura W. in Chicago. Go ahead, Laura. Please unmute and share.
Hi, everyone. This is Laura W. outside of Chicago. So when I first came into the rooms and I heard they read this paragraph, and I was new to OA, I was new to 12 steps. This was long before I got to Vision. But the last thing I wanted to hear was about God, and certainly nothing to do with my religion, which the minute I heard the word God, that's what I thought about. And I was so angry at God and my Catholic Church of origin and so many people. I distrusted so much about it. It was very difficult to hear that. Everything else about the program I loved, but it was hard to hear that. I was at a point where I would try to go to church to please my mother, who's a good person, and in the middle of church, I would start to cry, like almost shake, because I was so angry. So fast forward to my weight issues, my compulsive eating, and I get into OA and eventually to a Vision for You. And I look for spirituality. And the last thing I wanted to do was even think about God, let alone define what my higher power was. But because of this program, I have a higher power. And that higher power enables me to stick to a food plan where every other diet failed. And that is the difference for me. This program worked because I have a higher power. And it's not something someone else has. No one else has my higher power. I have to work really hard to have a relationship. I have to work these steps so that the relationship maintains. I recently lost my abstinence during COVID. One of the hardest things I've had to do is try to get it back because now I know too much. I have to have a real belief in my higher power. Because of that, I walk into a church and I can sing the songs and rejoice. People can say the word God and I don't judge. People can talk about Abba or Confucius or anything they want. A higher power is necessary. It is the difference to me between OA and every other diet program I did. And how I connect with that higher program is through these 12 steps. And nothing has helped me do it more clearly than a Vision for You. So I just love reading this today and this chance to share. And this is my last week of my first time saying the steps on Vision. And I hope to continue my service.
Thank you, Laura. Thank you so much. Next, Jody E., would you like to join us? Jody's in California.
Yes, I would. Thank you so much, Susan, for your service and for Team Wednesday and everyone on the line. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from California. So this is a beautiful picture of this man, Ebby, sitting before Bill, sober, which is a miracle, talking about God, making the point blank declaration that God had done for him what he could not do for himself. So the same has happened for me. I too, as everyone says, was unable this disease. I too struggled in Overeaters Anonymous for many years, trying to get abstinent and stay abstinent happily. I would have brief periods of abstinence and continuously relapse. I have also relapsed in A Vision for You two or three times in my 12 years here. But the relapses have been short in duration, thank heavens, and the abstinence has been by far the the majority of my time here, thanks to this book and this meeting that focuses on entire abstinence and on working all 12 steps continuously. Now, when it comes to the word God, yes, many of us do flinch at the word. We don't like the word for one reason or another. Our particular conception of God may be defined by a religion, and it may not be. And that's for each one of us to determine what works for us. We get to find our own conception of God. It's a very personal thing, very personal. And there's a lot of controversy around it. So we have to really be careful to not certainly impose our particular conception onto anyone else, because it is so very personal, based on our history and our experience in life. My conception has changed, continues to change as I live, as I grow, as I remain abstinent. It's a very personal thing. I'm just grateful that I have had a spiritual awakening. And I do believe, thank you, Susan, and that this program is working for me and that I can share and carry this message to others who still suffer. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much. And Judith SP, you are next. And if you can share with us where you are calling from this morning.
Hi, everybody. My name is Judith SP from Maryland. Truly grateful to be here. Thank you, Susan, and for everybody being here. This is an extremely powerful, electrifying paragraph, because as I'm sitting here listening to my fellow share, I think about Bill and Abby across the table or next to each other, whichever posturing they had, having conversation. But the difference in that conversation that I take from it is that God is present. And in my sharing right now with you, the difference for me is that God brought me into this meeting today and inspired me to share. And that's the truly major difference, excuse me, in my life today. I have struggles every moment, because the chatter in my head, the debate society, has to be quieted. And the only way I can quiet myself is to turn to God and give of myself to Thee, which I cannot do for myself. Whether it's food, whether it's food behaviors, whether it's why isn't life working out the way I want, Judith, why'd you make a mistake again? Oh my goodness, you're taking control back. Can't you just relax and take it easy? That's a difficult way to relax and take it easy when I'm on my own case. So I realize that I have been at the bottom of the heap, and I have been miserable. And today I'm struggling with something, because I had turned my will and my life over to God with this particular defect. And today I decided, no, I can take it back just for a little bit. It wasn't food, thank you, God, but it was an action that I knew was not serving God or helping me serve others. And so now, even though I'm not in food relapse, I'm in self-will relapse. And I've got to take care of myself. The only way I can take care of me is to be part of we, to be part of God, to be part of this fellowship, and know that the miracles are here every moment. God is unconditionally accepting and forgiving. And Judith, me, has to step out of the way and let God do what I have failed to do for most, if not all, my life. So with that, I pass, and I'm truly grateful to be here and be amongst you. Thank you.
Thank you, Judith SP in Maryland. Next, we will go to Vanessa G in New Mexico. Thank you, Vanessa.
Hi, this is Vanessa G, recovered in New Mexico. Thank you, Susan, for taking the meeting, and thank you for everyone who brings it to me also. So God does for me what I cannot do for myself. That is my point blank declaration. That's my experience. And, you know, it's not just happened once. It's happened a few times in my long life. And every time it happens, every time that I've been raised from the dead, on the other side of that is just a deeper and more beautiful experience of life and of what God can do for me. You know, I spent a dozen years as an atheist prior to coming to 12-step recovery. Spent a lot of time thinking about, you know, human power and thinking that it was so great and, you know, and that it was the explanation for all of the quote-unquote miracles that I had sort of witnessed or been privy to prior to that. And yet, I found myself, you know, outside maybe the third or fourth meeting that I had tried to go to, totally incapable of opening my car door and walking in. And unbidden, you know, not consciously, all of a sudden, out of nowhere came a prayer. You know, God, please get me in there. And I opened the car door and I walked in. Little did I know that that was my first experience with actually letting God do for me what I could not do for myself. When I sat in the rooms and I listened to all of you tell me the same thing, make your point blank declarations, God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. Over and over again, I heard that story. And it became true for me. It's not just relief from this disease. It's not just relief from compulsive overeating. It's not just relief from my other addictions. It's also relief from a life that was really so unsatisfying, so unproductive, and so without purpose. You know, today, things are completely different. And I'm very content in the idea that I am here for a purpose. I'm here to make point-blank declarations over and over again that God does for me what I could not do for myself. And, you know, the conception of God, whatever that is, the conception of a higher power, the conception of spirit, the conception of just an instinct to be, to live, those all work.
Time, Vanessa.
And they've all been a part of my, you know, conception up until now. But the main common solution, the main common answer is there is a power greater than me, and it does do for me what I cannot do for myself. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Vanessa. Before I take the next, the next roundup of names, if you came on a little late, we're continuing on in Bill's story, third paragraph, but my friend sat before me, just reading and discussing that one paragraph today. So, who would like to share in this next roundup if you can give me your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from this morning?
Abby D.
Thank you, Abby.
Diana Y. from Philadelphia.
Got you, Diana. Thank you. Who else would like to join Abby and Diana this morning?
Janice K.
And where are you calling from, Janice?
Oregon.
Thank you.
Joan Marie M. from Nevada.
Thank you, Joan Marie.
Elaine B.
Massachusetts. Okay. Thank you. Let's stop there because I'm not sure if we'll have time. So we have Abby D., Diana Y., Janice K., Joan Marie, and Elaine B. So if everyone other than Abby can mute the lines, we will go over to Michigan. And Abby, please join us. Thank you.
Uh,
Hello, everyone. My name is Abby D. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, bulimic in Michigan. And it says, God has done for him what he could not do for himself. His human will has failed. And it just reminds me of all the times that I tried to stop on my own. And I remember the last relapse I had. I was like laying on the beach, beautiful Santa Barbara, just completely dying, like wondering, how am I going to get out of this? Like, there's no way I can stop, and wanting to so bad. And then I love that it says my friend sat before me, because I needed to be able to see people that it worked in that could go ahead of me. And still now, like, I look to people who have what I want in order to figure out, like, how I can be better in various areas. And while the food is down, thank God, like, I know about the allergy now, because I was trying and trying and trying, but always igniting the allergy. And to be able to have a fellowship where I can, like, look up to people on how they've handled various things is incredible, to have a new society. And, you know, my human will had failed me so many times. And then it says, then he had, in effect, been raised from the dead, suddenly taken from the scrap heap to a level of life better than the best he'd ever known. Like, I'm so amazed that my life is, like, joyful today. Like, I really have no desire to eat the things that once ruled me. And I have a desire in my heart each morning to follow God and to do what my higher power's will is. And I have friends that sit before me that share how it works for them. So thanks for letting me share it. Yeah.
Thank you, Abby. And if you aren't sharing, can you star one? You want to make sure you're muted. It will stay muted or unmuted. So if you're not sure, just give it a quick try. Next, we'll go to Philadelphia. Diana Y, thank you so much.
Hi. This is Diana Y, and I am a sugar addict. And I absolutely love this part of the big book, because this is just one of the many miracles that I constantly hear in this program. And Bill is getting his first his 12th step call, and which is going to take him through his sobriety. And just knowing that giving to others is a necessary, essential part of this program, and the fact that Bill could have been on death's door and could not stop drinking, and then to be able to get a God in his life. I fought for years and years, 32 years out of 44 years in this program. I wanted to do it my way. I didn't believe in a God or higher power. And I really got into the big book at one point about, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. And I knew that all the words in the big book of how to live a happy, serene, productive, God-filled life was in the big book, because that's what Bill had experienced, and he gave it to us to be able to have peace and serenity in our lives. And it wasn't until I had the willingness to believe in a higher power that you know, I finally, after 32 years, got abstinent, and I was struck abstinent with my willingness to believe. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Diana Y. in Philadelphia. Next, we will go to Oregon, Janice K. Please join us.
Hi, this is Janice. Yeah, I did. I got so carried away with listening, I didn't mind my star ones. I think there are so many things that just really cry out in not only this paragraph, but in the page. I guess the primary thing is one of the practices is I learned to turn things over. And some of the things I have to turn things over out are I have to turn over my concept of a higher power. I don't get to tell God who God is anymore. I can sit down, I can be open, I can say, God, show me who you are. And God will do so. I have come to delight in the practice of looking at other people experiencing God as they understand God. I have a couple in particular that I treasure. I have a young person who is in the first year of program who came in as an avowed atheist, went through the steps, and now says, when I ask for help, something is there. And I sit and delight in the presence of that something. I mean, I do, not him. He doesn't say that. But I listen to him talk about finding something outside himself, and it is a delight to my heart. And I listen to someone else because the wars that have been fought, the burnings, the chicanery that religious dispute facilitated, there is some responsibility, well, there isn't. We just do what we choose what we choose. And I have another person who finds her higher power in nature. And I am delighted that she has that higher power. It is the ability of something bigger than us to do what we can't do that is so incredibly lovely about this program. And that by the kindness and the gifts of that power, I have a life better than the best I have ever known. Thank you for listening, and my best.
Thank you so much, Janice Kay. Next, we will go to Nevada. Joan Marie, please join us. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. What a beautiful shares, as always. There's so much in this paragraph. God did for me what I could not do for myself, literally. I could not stop. And I just surrendered my alcoholic foods, and God took the craving and the compulsion away. He certainly did for me. I tried doctors. I tried my human will. I tried everything possible to stop, and I could not. When I surrendered to a power greater than myself, that power began to work in me. I couldn't put something in front of God, and that was food, making food my God. And food could never do anything for me but misery and depression and sickness, but God brought me forward in such a way that life, it has meaning. It has a destiny to me, my destiny. And I'm so grateful. I love this program. I can't say enough about it. It has changed my life and raised from the dead. My whole attitude and outlook on life has changed. I try to look through the eyes of God to see every situation as He sees it, to see every person the way He sees them. God is the only one that knows hearts. God is the only one that knows how to help us. So with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joan Marie. Next, we have Elaine B. in Massachusetts. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you so much for your service. Appreciate it, Susan. Okay, but I sat before my friend. My friend sat before me. So this is relationship. This is somebody that he knew as a direct, you know, I mean, this is somebody that he knew about what he was experiencing. But he completely was a different human being with a completely different message than let's go to the bar, let's go hang out, you know. And the declaration, God had done for him what he could not do for himself. And so Bill knew, Bill tried, Bill was doing all these different things and different efforts and, you know, driving across the country with his wife, trying to make the deals and stuff. But he promised to stop, but he couldn't stop. He promised, but he couldn't. He promised, but he couldn't. And how many things have I promised, but I couldn't, and I couldn't, and I couldn't. My human power failed. Just as Bill's had, just as Ebby's had. And yet little did I know that, you know, seeing the nutritionist and doing that food plan and all of those things, you know, were not going to be enough, that really wasn't what it was about. It was like God allowed this issue to come into my life and have such power because I needed a power greater than myself, and I didn't see it. I didn't know it. I didn't understand it. And so I had to admit complete defeat. That's what it took, you know, face down in the food, candy hidden all over the house, getting a letter from my husband saying, you know, you've taken on a new lover and it's food. Divorce is not an option for us, but we'll live separately in this house. And I was so fogged, I couldn't even get it. I hid the letter away, found it again after I had found Vision for You and was just beginning in recovery. And I still couldn't handle it. I put it away. But 2 years later, I found it again. And God had changed me. God had changed me just like He changed Abby. You know, we have a life that's, we have a testimony that is powerful when we commit, when we admit complete defeat. And He had been raised up from the dead just like I was, taken out of the scrap heap just like I was, and a life better than he had ever known. So this, when I found that letter again, I brought it to my husband and I showed it to him. I was finally ready to face the music. But when he read it, I had changed so much because of God. And this thing wasn't just about the food. It was everything. He didn't even remember writing it. We have a powerful God with a powerful story. And thanks for the chance for telling a little bit of mine and in relation to this. I pass.
Thank you so much, Elaine. All right, I think we have time for two more shares. Who would like to share today on this third paragraph on page 11 in the doctor's opinion? Star one to unmute.
Deb F.
Deb F, thank you. One more person.
Karen W.
Karen W, all right. If you could both tell us where you're calling from when you share, if everyone other than Deb F. could mute the line. Thank you, Deb.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, this is Deb F. in Texas. And I think of myself here with the higher power. I just for so long, I thought, what it meant was I had to do it myself. That's actually what I was doing it myself. And I didn't understand that, you know, what I was doing, playing God. I didn't understand that I was trying to run the show and that it still creeps back in. I'm trying to run the show. How come this happened? How come that happened? You know, and just learning to just take that time to say many times, during the day, thy will, not mine, be done. In other words, it's not my will, it's thine. It's not mine, it's my higher power's will. And and then when I can, that I can go through issues where I'm not taking on this heavy thing. Instead, what I'm doing is just saying, you know, okay, I can see what, like, where God wants me to stand, what God wants me to say, what God, how God even wants me to think about things. And so it becomes easier. So that's the biggest thing I could say, because when I came into this program, I don't know, a long time ago, I just thought, oh, yeah, I know who my higher power is. I don't have no problem with this. You know, no problems with step one, two, three, you know. But I did, because I was trying to, I had my own ideas I had to lay aside to let my higher power's ideas come in. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deb F. in Texas. And next we will go to Karen W. And Karen, please let us know where you are calling from this morning.
Good morning. This is Karen W. from Katy, Texas. Gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. The first sentence, but my friend set before me, was y'all in vision. You know, I couldn't see you, but you talked about me and touched my heart and helped me see what I was doing to myself. And I worked with a sponsor and found a higher power that worked for me and got through the steps. And I failed. I failed many times before vision. I failed in vision. But each time, God has showed me more about myself and my thinking. My thinking is what gets me in trouble with my ego, and I think I know it all, and I don't. So I try to talk to God daily, you know, to ask for his help in whatever I'm doing or what I don't want to do, to take better care of myself. And you know, Thomas Edison tried 1,000 times before the light bulb worked for him. I can sure continue to try and do the best that I can for today and ask for God's help to get me there. I'm so grateful for a vision for you. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a glorious day.
Thank you. We have 1 minute left. Anybody, 1 minute? Now's the chance. The time, star one, anyone? Burning desire on this paragraph? Or not? Going once, going twice.
This is Barbara A. from California.
Go ahead, Barbara, 1 minute.
I love these burning desires. I love these last minutes. Thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you for this meeting, and thank you for the inspiring words that keep me coming back every day. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much. All right, well, here we are at the end of the meeting and at the end of March, so I would like to thank everyone who was of service through this month, Vanessa G., Larry G., Lorraine N., Leslie M., thank you for today, Cheryl S., Eileen M., Letty G., and Laura W. I am clapping for us all. Thank you for a fabulous Wednesday through the month of March. All right, we will now close with a reading from the Big Book, page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And Lorraine N., will you please take us out with a vision for you? Thank you.
I would love to. Good morning, everyone. I'm Lorraine N., recovering compulsive eater in Oregon. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.